All right, good morning, everybody. Good morning. It is good to see everybody this morning. Every week it seems we're getting closer and closer to a full house again. What a blessing that is. I'm so glad that we have some visitors with us today. Thank you for coming our way. Good to see everybody. Good to visit with everybody. As we get ready to look into God's Word this morning, let's continue to remember Baxter and Kayola as they're traveling. They went down to Florida, and we'll pray for their safe return to us. We looked high and low for somebody to bring us a good lesson this morning, and, well, they came up with me. So I apologize in advance, but we'll look into God's Word together and see what we can find. What I'd like to talk about for a few minutes this morning is, I guess a little bit of a spoiler alert. Go ahead and take your Bibles out and turn to the book of Genesis. I'm not going to tell you which chapter yet, but just get primed and ready, because we're gonna read a few passages in Genesis. But I want to set up the lesson in a specific way. And so what I want to talk about is a fella named Zephaniah Paneah. Zephaniah Paneah was a governor of Egypt in the mid to late 1700s BC. He was a very powerful governor. In fact, by Pharaoh's order, no one was to lift a hand in all of Egypt without Zephaniah's approval. Pharaoh went on to say that Zephaniah would be equal to Pharaoh in every way except the throne. So that's a pretty powerful position. Zephaniah was in charge of all the commerce and taxation over all of Egypt and the lands that they governed. So he was the second most powerful man in the most powerful country in all the world at the time. That's a pretty big deal. When we look at similar positions of power in our world today, you know, we might expect to see a lifelong politician in a role like that. Someone who's dedicated their life to studying politics, or someone who has spent their lifetime acquiring the education and experience necessary to take on a position like that. They probably went to college. They probably studied political science, history, law, maybe economics. They might have advanced degrees. They probably left college and pursued jobs that were related to public service. And they would work for years building their base of knowledge and experience so that they could rise to this position of power. Now, on the other hand, sometimes we might see someone who was born into politics, someone with family connections that could get them to the top like this. These individuals might not have to work as hard to get the experience and education necessary to be appointed to this position, but rather they would rely on family connections and influence to get them there. Well, what about Zephaniah? Well, Zephaniah was not educated in politics, and as far as the record shows, he had no specialized formal education. And in fact, this job was his first experience in civil leadership. Zephaniah was also not born into politics. In fact, at the time of his appointment, he had been estranged from his family for quite some time, many years. He was actually a foreigner in the land. He wasn't even Egyptian. So one might think, we might look at that and say, well, then Zephaniah was just lucky. He was lucky. He was in the right place at the right time, and it worked out for him. Well, that's cool. It's good to be lucky sometimes, right? But let's look at his luck. He was born into a prominent family, and although his father loved him very much, his brothers hated him. Hated him so much that they threw him in a pit. Most of his brothers wanted to kill him. They threw him in a pit. As they were figuring out what to do with him, they sold him into slavery. They told their father that he was dead. Now, while he was a slave, he worked really hard, but he was falsely accused of a terrible crime. and he was thrown into prison. He spent years in prison on a false charge until a very special ability that he possessed was needed by Pharaoh himself. Now, some of you might have skipped ahead. Some of you might have figured this out already. This man that we call Zaphnath is actually the man we know as Joseph. The same Joseph that was the son of Jacob, to whom was given the coat of many colors. Most people are familiar with that story, Joseph and the coat of many colors, right? And I think a lot of times, just like Caleb was talking about in class this morning, you know, when we study about Jonah and the whale, we talk about the cool parts of the story, right? He was swallowed by a giant fish. And then he went and did what God wanted him to do. Great. When we talk about Joseph, sometimes it's kind of the same thing. We talk about his multicolored coat. We talk about how much his father loved him. Yeah, he was thrown in a well. He was a slave. And yeah, he went to prison. But then he served Pharaoh. And he was right there at Pharaoh's right hand. And it was great. And then he saved his family. Well, what I'd like to talk about today is that piece of Joseph's life from the time that he was thrown into that well to the time where Pharaoh called him out of prison. And let's think about what that was like for Joseph. And how can we learn a lesson from that and apply it to ourselves today? I'm going to suggest to you that that was not luck for Joseph. He didn't consider himself lucky, right? But yet he did something very specific that we can do today, because we very often don't feel lucky in our lives. We very often face big challenges. We have big problems sometimes. There are people in this room today that are struggling with things. So what can we learn from Joseph? How can we apply it for ourselves? I suggest to you that no matter what situation Joseph found himself in, he did his best work. He trusted in God, and he gave him the glory. So I think in order for us to do that for ourselves, we have to remember something that Joseph knew. This can be hard to do sometimes, but we have to remember what Joseph knew, and that is that God is still God, even when our days are dark. Even when we are at our worst, even when things seem piled up against us, when the challenges seem insurmountable, God is still God. So let's think about that part of his life. His brothers hated him. They threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. Do we have family problems sometimes ourselves? I mean, that's like a mega family problem, right? I mean, I might argue with my brothers sometimes, but I thought they were trying to kill me a couple of times, but they weren't actually trying to kill me. But in this case, most of his brothers really wanted to kill him. They did the next best thing. They sold him into slavery in a foreign land. He was taken away from his family. He was taken away from his home. He went somewhere far, far away and forced into servitude. Forced into servitude. While he was there trying to do a good job, he was falsely accused and sentenced to prison. Now, do we have bad days at work sometimes? Do we have bad months at work? Sometimes bad years at work. Joseph had bad years. He spent 13 years in prison. Sorry, not 13 years in prison. He spent many years in prison. And ironically, he was in prison for refusing to commit sin. We'll talk about that in a second. But do we sometimes face consequences for things that other people did, or things that other people did to us? We do. Sometimes, whether it's Someone steals from us, and then we have to figure out how to recover from that. Maybe they have harmed us in some way. How do we recover from that? Even if we did nothing wrong, sometimes we end up paying consequences. And that's what Joseph did. But despite all these trials, he kept his faith. As a slave, he worked really hard, and God blessed his efforts. So in Genesis chapter 39, verses 3 through 4, it says this about Joseph. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. So Joseph didn't do the bare minimum. You know, in my mind, it seems if you were forced into servitude, if you were sold into slavery, it might be a pretty strong temptation. It might be pretty easy for you to make the mental decision, I'm going to do the bare minimum. I'm going to cut back. I'm going to only do what I have to do to keep them from beating me or starving me or killing me. And that's all they're going to get out of me. But that wasn't Joseph's attitude. He worked hard. He did the best he could do. And in doing the best he could do, he was blessed by God. And everything that he did was blessed by God. And it caused his master, Potiphar, to be blessed as well. So when we're in a challenging situation, we need to do the best we can, sincerely and honestly. Not give it lip service, but give it the full force of our strength and our might. Well, that's what Joseph was doing when Potiphar's wife decided that he was a handsome young man. And she desired to be with him. She pursued him. The Bible, if you read the story, she chased him for a while. And he resisted, and he kept saying no. And finally, one day, she got a hold of him. He ran away so quickly that she basically jerked his garment off. And he ran off and left her. But now she had evidence. She used that evidence to say that he had gone in there and tried to force himself on her. That was a false charge. But what did Joseph say to Potiphar's wife? What was his resistance to her? Genesis 39 and verse 9 says that Joseph answered her. He said, "There is no one greater in this house than I, and he," that's Potiphar, "has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Joseph recognized that as a sin against God. It wasn't just a sin against Potiphar. It was a sin against God. And when I studied this, I thought about this. You know, Joseph recognized the honor that was bestowed upon him in this position, that he had kind of been promoted from a simple slave up to the manager of all of Potiphar's household. That's a pretty big honor. So he wouldn't want to disrespect that, sure. Something else to think about. Potiphar was the captain of Pharaoh's guard. When I think about that, I think that he probably was not a cupcake. Gentlemen probably don't get that position in Pharaoh's guard, right? This is a man of war. But it wasn't fear of Potiphar that kept Joseph from laying with Potiphar's wife. It was the fact that Joseph recognized that he would be sinning against God. So when we're faced with temptations, when we're faced with trials, when it seems overwhelming, we have to guard ourselves against sinning against God. Now, in this case, one might say that Joseph's faith helped him get thrown into prison. Well, maybe so. Sometimes doing what is right is not easy. Sometimes doing what is right is not easy. But Joseph didn't let that stop him. Now, while he was in prison, once again, here's a turning point in life. It would be real easy to sit back and say, okay, I'm a prisoner. I don't deserve to be here. I didn't do anything to be here. But now I'm here. Give me my three meals a day. Give me my cot. And just leave me alone. But again, Joseph didn't do that. He didn't take the easy way out. Joseph started demonstrating his work ethic. Joseph did the best he could do, and it was recognized. Genesis 39:21 and following says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the warden of the prison. And the warden of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it." So here we see Joseph rising to the level of like superintendent of the prisoners. Yeah, he's still a prisoner. It's still prison. And I am sure an Egyptian prison, especially back then, was a very unpleasant place, even if you're helping to run the place. Still a prisoner. And still unpleasant. Yet, he did the best he could do. He trusted in God. And we'll see he gave God the glory. So now during this time, while Joseph is in charge of the prisoners, we don't know why, but something happens and Pharaoh becomes very angry with his cupbearer and his baker, and he has them thrown into prison. And while there, they're being supervised by Joseph, and these two men had very bad dreams, troubling dreams. They couldn't figure it out. And that's when they found out that Joseph had an ability. He could interpret dreams. And so Genesis 40 and verse 8 says, "And they said to him, 'We have had a dream, and there is no one to interpret it.' Then Joseph said to them, 'Do interpretations not belong to God? Tell it to me, please.'" Here we see Joseph is not taking credit for this ability. He's giving God the glory. Even in his situation, even locked in prison, against his will, not for his own fault, he still gives God the glory. How many times do we forget to give God the glory? Joseph didn't forget. He gave God the glory. He honored God despite his struggles. Now, as the story goes on, the cupbearer is released from prison and goes back to his position with Pharaoh. And the only thing that Joseph asked him to do was, "When you get back to Pharaoh, tell him about me. Let him know. I didn't do anything wrong. I shouldn't be here. I've been kidnapped from my family. I need his help." Well, the cupbearer forgot. And 2 more years went by. Now imagine Joseph. He's got this opportunity. He has interpreted this dream, and this cupbearer has gone back to his position. And the only thing he asked the guy to do was, "Hey, remember me." 2 more years in prison before finally Pharaoh has a dream and he's troubled, and finally the cupbearer remembers. Now we know that the dream that Pharaoh had was a warning from God, a warning that there were going to be 7 years of great prosperity followed by 7 years of great famine. When they did get Joseph, they brought him out of the prison, they cleaned him up, put him in front of Pharaoh. He was able to deliver that message to Pharaoh to give him a heads up. Hey, you need to be doing stuff right now to protect yourself, your people, and even the people around you. In Genesis chapter 41, verse 38, we see what Pharaoh said. Genesis 41:38. "Then Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit?' So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. He had him ride in his second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, bow the knee. And he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh named Joseph Zaphnath-Paneah, and gave him Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, as his wife. And Joseph went forth over the land of Egypt. It's a relatively short story. It didn't take us long to tell it. But 13 years passed from the time that Joseph's brothers threw him in that pit until he stood before Pharaoh. 13 years of slavery, 13 years of prison, 13 years of trying to get ahead and being set back every time. We may not face the same troubles that Joseph faced. I sincerely hope and pray none of us are ever sold into slavery that are gathered here today. I hope that just is not even a thing. But sometimes we become slaves to sin. Sometimes we put ourselves in bondage to different things. Sometimes we pay the price for consequences for things we didn't do. Things happen to us. Sometimes things just happen. Sometimes we get a disease. Sometimes we lose a loved one. Sometimes we lose a job. Whatever our difficulties are, we have to remember what Joseph did. You know, the final outcome was that Joseph did end up being the right person in the right place to save his family. His family came to Egypt to buy food because they were the only ones that had it. He was able to see his brothers again. He was able to see his father again. He was able to literally save their lives. It was only because of the patience that he had. It was the fact that he did his best work. He trusted in God, and he gave God the glory. It was only through that that he was able to be there at the right place at the right time. So I encourage you, let's do that. Let's do our best work. Let's trust in God. Let's give God the glory so that we can be the right person at the right place. You know, it might just be an encouraging word to somebody at work that helps them come back to church. It could be a helping hand to a neighbor. It could be a good friend you haven't seen for years. Let's do those things to make ourselves the right person at the right place for someone else. All right, you guys know I like bonus lessons. Here's a bonus lesson for you. No extra charge. Another very powerful element of Joseph's story is the powerful element of the forgiveness he showed to his brothers. He loved them so much, and he forgave them. Let's have that spirit of forgiveness in our hearts. When others do us wrong, especially when they're in our family, let's have that spirit of forgiveness. Let's remember that God is God, no matter how dark our days are. Let's honor Him. Another way that we honor God is just simply following His commandments, following His instructions for us. And if you haven't obeyed the gospel this morning, the opportunity is available for you today. How do we make sure we're pleasing to God? The first thing we need to do is hear God's word. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Once we hear the word of God, we have to believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. We must repent of our sins. Luke 13:3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We have to confess Christ. Matthew 10:32 says, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. And we must be baptized. John 3:5 says, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So if you haven't done these things today, you have the opportunity today. Please let us know that you have that need. Maybe you have done those things, and like Joseph, you're dealing with some dark days. If you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need us in some way, please make it known to us today before you leave. All right, let's sing.